Welcome to our effort at a live stream for a public candidates by-election provincial debate for 2024. I want to thank the Prince Edward County and Quinte West Chamber for joining me with this effort. We are typically responsible for hosting debates, and we always want to make sure that people have full access to the information that's available to them. So my name is Jill Raycroft. I'm the CEO for the Chamber, and this is technically the sixth candidate debate in my tenure with the Chamber. Thank you for joining us in spirit, and I also want to thank the candidates who have joined us this evening. At its core, the Chamber was created as an organization to be an advocate for business, and in the past 160 years, I don't know if it has ever been more evident that advocating for business also means advocating for the community at large. There is nothing untouched when business struggles, as we've seen through the past 4 years. And while business has always been affected by red tape, legislation, taxes, business is also affected by healthcare, by education, by housing, and how we are all in this together. Our questions this evening are likely to touch on all of our region's issues, because issues for business are also issues for everyone who lives here. We have received questions from the public and sourced questions from the issues from the community. We have 8 questions in the queue this evening. We do review questions for duplication and relevance. So if you have submitted a question, please listen carefully to the topics we cover. Your question may not be asked as you wrote it, but if it is a provincial issue, we're confident we'll be asking our guests this evening to tell us how their party is planning to deal with it. The seating order, or the screen order, speaking order was by random draw, and we did do this with a spinning wheel just before going live, and all the candidates agreed to this approach. None of the candidates have seen the questions in advance, and our moderator has been provided an order. None of the questions have been directly assigned to any candidate, and each candidate will have the opportunity to answer every question with specific time limits. We're going to welcome Suzanne Andrews, CEO of the Quinte West Chamber of Commerce, to offer some words of welcome before I pass it to our moderator.
Yeah, thank you, Jill. You know, this is a very short time frame that we have before the by-election, and I wanted to thank the 4 candidates that are joining us this evening for taking the time out of their very busy schedules. I know you're all getting out there trying to cover as many neighborhoods as you can, and talk to as many voters as you can, and let them know what it is that you personally stand for and what it is that your party stands for. We were talking earlier today amongst the 3 chambers, and you know, more than ever, business issues and social issues are very closely integrated. You know, what is happening out there in our communities is really impacting business owners and their employees. And so there's very few topics anymore that don't directly relate to businesses and what is going on in our local communities. I'm going to pass it back over to Jill. And like I said, on behalf of the 3 chambers, thank you once again for taking the time out of your very, very busy schedules.
Thank you, Suzanne. And now I'm going to pass it over to the chamber president for 2024-25, Chris Auger.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. As Jill mentioned, my name is Chris Auger, and I will be your moderator this evening. Just a couple of notes before we begin. Commenting during the live stream has been turned off. The debate is being recorded and will be available to the candidates and the public through multiple channels following the event. A timer will provide a signal when the candidate has 1 minute left. You will see a green paddle for 1 minute, a yellow paddle for 15 seconds, and once you have used your allotted time, a stop red paddle will appear. We will begin this evening with opening statements from each candidate. As Jill stated, all the selections and appearances have been done at random. Tonight, I'm very happy to welcome our candidates. Tonight, we are welcoming Tyler Alsop from the PC Party of Ontario, Lori Borthwick from the Green Party, Sean Kelly, Liberal Party, Amanda Robertson, NDP party. In this section, each candidate will have 3 minutes for their opening statement. Timing will be monitored by Lisa Grills, and please watch for her yellow and red cards. Candidates will be muted once the red paddle is raised. I want to thank you all again for taking the time to be with us. I will now introduce our first introduction, Tyler Alsop.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for watching. I would also like to thank the Belleville Chamber of Commerce, the Quinte West Chamber of Commerce, and the Prince Edward County Chamber of Commerce for hosting this event this evening. I'd also like to thank my fellow candidates for being here and taking part in this important discussion about the future of the Bay of Quinte. My name is Tyler Alsop, and as a lifelong resident of Belleville, where I live with my wife, Jennifer, and three children, I have a deep understanding of the challenges and opportunities that matter most to our residents and our families. As the former chair of the Belleville Police Service Board, I made sure that our officers had the resources they needed to keep our community safe. As a former small business owner, I understand the struggles that our business community faces and what it takes for them to succeed. And as a Belleville City Councilor since 2021, I've worked tirelessly to reduce costs for both businesses and families and make sure that we're getting the shovels in the ground that we need to build the homes that are desperately wanted in our community. I'm running as MPP of the Bay of Quinte to keep doing this work and to keep delivering real results for all the residents of the Bay of Quinte. Our government has made real progress over the last 6 years on the issues that matter most to you, whether it's healthcare, education, infrastructure, public transit, and making the investments needed to bring better paying jobs with bigger paychecks to our community. But we understand that there's more work to be done. We've stood strong against the liberal carbon tax, which is costly and makes life more expensive for all of us. We've worked hard to bring better paying jobs and new opportunities to the Bay of Quinte, and we're widening the 401 to cut down on commute times and keep our economy moving. But most importantly of all, we've set a bold goal to build 1.5 million new homes by 2031 to make the dream of home ownership a reality for more of our residents. My focus is on continuing to get things done for the Bay of Quinte. Whether it's fighting for more good paying jobs, making life more affordable, or supporting our local communities, I'm ready to get it done for you. And I'm ready to be your strong voice of local government in Queens Park and to represent your best interests to the province. Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to the discussion this evening.
Thank you, Tyler. I'd like to introduce Sean Kelly for his opening statements.
Thank you, Chris. And right off the top, I want to thank the Chamber of Commerce, Jill with the crew in Belleville, Picton, and also Quinte West. I know with this snap election by the Florida government, I'm sure they thought you couldn't put this together tonight, but you have. So it's great to be here. First of all, I'm a proud dad. I have a son, Liam, who's a University of Toronto political science student. He's got a few credits to finish his degree. And my daughter, Taylor. Taylor just graduated from Carleton University in forensic psychology, and she's studying the LSATs, and she hopes to be in law school next year. So I've been a single dad now for the last 15 years, and I'm blessed with two wonderful children and a great family, and I see the family rising to the occasion again throughout the campaign. And I come from a big family. I have six brothers and four sisters, lots of educators in the Kelly family, all different sectors of jobs. So I'm just grateful for all the support from family and friends. You know, I've been involved in the community here in the Bay of Quinte for the last 30 years. And I grew up in rural Ontario, and parts of Bay of Quinte are rural. So I really understand the needs. I'm a city councilor in my sixth year, second term. I was a school board trustee for 4 years with the Algonquin Lakeshore Catholic School Board. And I'm also a radio host in the market. I've coached minor hockey, I've been an umpire in youth baseball, involved in so many community events and charitable events, committee work for the past 30 years. And what that has given me is knowledge. I love this part of the province, and I just love working for families. And I've done that over 30 years. You know, I've spent my entire career listening to our community and connecting with people. I've seen what our region has to offer, whether it's Belleville's rich history, Quinte's proud military community, the county's local business and tourism attraction. Our region is truly special, and it has so much going for it. However, over the last 6 years, we've seen Doug Ford's government neglect our region. Our community desperately needs investments in healthcare, education, housing, mental health, and addictions. And we're going to get into that a little later tonight when we have more time to share stories and address where they're lacking in funding. I hear it every day at the doors. For the past 2.5 weeks, I've reached out to thousands of people and heard their stories, and some tonight I will share and they will resonate with you. My work as a trustee in the school board gives me a great understanding of what's happening within the schools, and I'm also part of the Hastings Prince Edward Public Health. Right now in the Bay of Quinte, we have 20,000 people without access to primary care. We're going to address that tonight. BGH has the second longest wait times in the province in the emergency department. I think I'm out of time, sorry, but we're going to come back to a lot of those topics tonight.
Thank you, Sean. I would now like to introduce Lori Borthwick.
Well, good evening, everyone. I'd like to begin, as everyone else has, by thanking Jill and the Belleville, Prince Edward, and Quinte West Chamber of Commerce for putting this debate together despite the very short timelines of the snap by-election. I am so grateful to be here tonight. I am grateful that I'm living on this beautiful jewel of a planet that supports so much life. I'm grateful that within this beautiful planet, I have been fortunate to find myself living in the Bay of Quinte Riding. From the Sager Conservation Area to the Bleasdale Boulder, from the Bell Creek Watershed to the Monarch Point Conservation Area, I have been blessed to inhabit an area with such rich natural heritage to preserve. I acknowledge that I am an uninvited settler to these lands. They have been stewarded and protected through time by Indigenous peoples of Turtle Island. I am grateful for their stewardship of these lands, and I acknowledge my responsibility to protect and steward the lands that I reside upon. I am grateful for my 5 wonderful children and 3 grandchildren. I am grateful for the love and support of my partner, John Lowry. How blessed I am to have love of family and support of friends. As a Green, it is with this feeling of gratitude for the natural world and its inhabitants that we have developed our policies. We're not concerned with the next election cycle. Instead, we're working on policies that will be needed for future generations. Cycles are short, especially. The problems we face are complex. They have been with us for decades, but we've seen an acceleration of the pressures on healthcare, housing, and affordability over the last 6 years with this current government. As a Green, I feel politics should be done differently. I want to listen. I will be at your door listening. I want to hear your concerns, and I want to advocate for you. I want to do this not by shouting across the floor at Queen's Park, but through collaboration. As Greens, we believe passionately that people power works, and I look forward to being your voice at Queen's Park as your Green MPP. Thanks.
Thank you, Warren. I would now like to introduce Amanda Robertson for an opening statement.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. And thank you to the chambers for putting on this event tonight. The time for better is now, Bay of Quinte. For far too long, governments have been out of touch with our community, doubling down on policies that only benefit a select few. But today we have the chance to change that. Today, we can choose leadership that puts you, your family, and our future first. For 6 years, we've watched as the Conservatives have neglected our healthcare system, let rent soar, ignored the needs of our schools, and who has paid the price? You have, our children have, our seniors, our small businesses, all of us have. I'm Amanda Robertson, a mother of 3, a school board trustee, a basketball coach, a farmer's daughter, and someone who deeply loves this community. I'm running to be your voice because you deserve a representative who understands what life is like in the Bay of Quinte, not from inside an office, but from the outside in the community. I'm the only candidate that understands what you're going through, from parents juggling 2 jobs and trying to find affordable childcare, to seniors worried about how they'll make ends meet. Our community deserves better. this election isn't just about politics. It's about our values. It's about what kind of community we want to raise our children in. Do we want politicians that only show up when they need something from us, or ones that are there by us, fighting for what matters to us day in and day out? Bay of Quinte, we deserve better. It starts with you, and it continues with me and the NDP. We can build affordable housing, provide real rent control, ensure our children have well-funded schools, and make sure our small businesses can thrive. Together, we can make these things happen, and I'm ready to be part of that better. Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda. We'll now move into round one, the question period debate. This is the part of the evening where candidates will be asked a series of questions. The three chambers have developed these questions from community input, shared conversations, and through their government affairs committees. Please note that submitted questions may not be quoted and/or have been combined into general themes of concern and interest as it relates to the provincial government and their policies and decisions. There will be two parts to this Q&A. In part one, each candidate will have a chance to be the first to answer a question, and all candidates will have an opportunity to respond as well. Responses will be timed, and the speaker will be warned when they are reaching their limit. For the beginning of this section, Amanda Robertson, you will be the first to have a question, and you will have the initial 2 minutes to respond. The remaining candidates will each have 1 minute allotted times to respond, with the last say going to Amanda in this particular section with a 1 minute rebuttal. I will now pose a question, Amanda. We're all aware of long hospital wait times and limited access to family doctors, long-term care, and mental health services. How does your party plan to improve the quality of public health care? You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. So this question is obviously very timely. This is something that we are hearing at the doors time and time and time again. We've yet to knock on a door where somebody has said that the family doctor shortage has not touched them in any way, or hospital wait times have not touched them in any way. An NDP government would invest in public health care. And really, the only way to solve all of these problems is to make real investment into the system. And so building new shiny hospitals is wonderful, but when they open over capacity and under-resourced and understaffed and underserviced, the patient care is just not there. So an NDP government would partner with our healthcare workers to ensure that we're creating environments that are safe and supportive for them to be able to deliver on patient care. So investing in family health team models, recruiting and retaining, most importantly, retaining our family doctors that we have here in this community and our primary healthcare providers. Because the reality is, if we have governments who are increasing medical seats for family doctors, but we're not improving the climate with which they're graduating into, we're losing doctors before we even get them. So an NDP government would invest in healthcare workers. We would pay nurses a wage that is respectful of the work that they do and the value they offer to our communities. And we would invest in those human resources that are so necessary to keep our system afloat.
Thank you, Amanda. Lori Borthwick, you will be the first to have a chance to respond. You have 1 minute.
Okay, thank you. Well, as I have worked at Belleville General Hospital for over 30 years as a respiratory therapist in intensive care and eMERGE, as well as Quinte West, Trenton, and Picton. So I have seen the problems with emergency care and the long wait times, and they keep getting longer, and as Amanda said, because we're not fully supporting our primary care physicians or our nurse practitioners. We do need more spaces at school to have more positions filled, but we have to make it many of the doctors going through medical school. They're not picking primary care because the job is too onerous, they don't get paid enough, and they have too much paperwork. So we need to change that. We need to support our family physicians. We need to support our healthcare workers. Bill 124 caused a lot of frontline healthcare workers to choose another profession. We felt very disrespected.
Thank you very much. I'd like to invite Sean Kelly for a 1 minute response.
Sorry, there we go. Okay, so wait times at BGH, second longest right now in the province. Okay, some are waiting 18 hours. There's not enough doctors, and this area has over 20,000 orphan patients without primary care. So when people don't have a doctor or a nurse practitioner, they have to go to emergency. So they're going to BGH. I spoke to a young lad today that broke his nose playing some football with some friends. He had a bloody nose. It took about 90 minutes to fix, but he was in the hospital for 24 hours. You know, the doctors, the nurses, the PSWs, the RPNs, all the staff at hospitals are exhausted. They do wonderful work, quality healthcare, but there's just not enough of them. So we can do better. Ford has failed on healthcare, and we're seeing it every day in emergency rooms at all the hospitals in Bay Aquinnah, whether it's Trenton, Picton, or BGH.
Thank you, Sean. Tyler, you have 1 minute for your response.
Thank you, Chris. And no one is more committed to healthcare than this PC government. We now spend $85 billion in Ontario, a full 40% more than when this government came into power in 2018. Since 2018, we've hired 12,500 new doctors and almost 80,000 new nurses have registered to work in Ontario. We've also done more in terms of residency seats, 260 additional seats for undergraduate degrees and 449 for postgraduate degrees, with 60% of those earmarked for family medicine. We've also provided subsidies and grants for doctors willing to practice in rural areas to get 6 years of medical school paid for by the Ontario government. So no one has done more in healthcare, including locally. This year, we increased the QHC budget by 7.7%, $15.6 million, and we provided the stable funding that the Liberals wouldn't to keep Trent Memorial Hospital and Picton Memorial Hospital open, and provided an $8.9 million capital grant to Trent Memorial Hospital for a new renovated emergency room, and $10 million to build the new Picton Memorial Hospital, which will be state-of-the-art and provide better quality care close to home. That's how you get it done on healthcare. The other parties did nothing.
Thank you, Tyler. Amanda, you have the final say. You have 1 minute.
Thank you. This government can say that they've committed the most and they've done the most for healthcare in our region. But when we have a government who unanimously voted against a nurse to patient ratio bill that would have improved working conditions for our nursing staff in hospitals, that doesn't really track with that statement. One might argue that everything that they've put in dollar-wise, they've removed more so through privatization schemes that have moved towards having corporations and big companies profit off of our healthcare challenges that we're facing and our long wait times. So while they've been putting in record numbers of dollars, we can say that they've been taking out just as much or underinvesting in the actual human resources that we need to operate our hospitals and our healthcare clinics and our facilities. So I would disagree because on the ground and being married to a family doctor, we're not seeing. Thank you.
The time on that. I'd like to thank everyone for the responses in that. The second question will be assigned first to Lori Borthwick. In this round, Lori, you will have 2 minutes to answer the opening question, while the remaining candidates will each have one. And we will go back for a final minute to Lori to provide a wrap-up comment. Lori, this is the question. Ontario has spent decades underfunding and or dismantling critical services such as healthcare, education, and support, with many of these being downloaded to the municipality. How is your party prepared to reverse the download of these critical services? You have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Chris. That's a great question and one I feel passionately about. As we've seen with our mental health crisis, addictions crisis, and our homeless crisis in the Bay of Quinte, our municipalities are having to beg for money and support from the provincial government and the federal government. For a long time, we have seen a diminishment of money to our municipalities. The province has downloaded costs for highways that are now county roads, and they continue to do that for all of these issues. And As Greens, we know that our municipalities need support, so we would stably fund them. We would upload the cost back to the provinces in many cases and ensure an increased funding to 50% for affordable housing. So we do have a plan to stably fund municipalities because they're the ones on the ground that know the problems in their areas. So if they can get the money, then they can do their job. If we don't give them the money, they won't be able to do it. And when the current government does their little announcements of money coming into our riding, I want everyone to remember that that is our money. It's our money. We're Ontarians. We're the ones that pay the taxes. And so why should we have to beg for money for our area? It should just be spent as a matter of course. Thank you.
Thank you, Laurie. First to respond will be Sean Kelly. Sean, you have 1 minute.
Thank you, Chris. Good question. I was recently in Ottawa at the AMO conference. That's the Association of Municipalities of Ontario. There are 444 municipalities, and my colleague on council, Tyler Alsop, was not at those meetings. And that was the topic of conversation, was the downloading by the provincial government to municipalities. All 444 had the same answer. We can't continue to do it. I'm going to look at County Road 49 in Picton. I spoke to Mayor Steve Ferguson last week. Right now, they need $30 million to fix County Road 49. It's a major artery for tourism. The residents of Prince Edward County use that road all the time. We need the government to step up. Municipalities can't afford it anymore. They've sent that message to Ford, and we get nothing back.
Thank you, Sean. Tyler, you will be next to respond. You have 1 minute.
Well, thank you very much. I think I already addressed the significant and historic funding in healthcare. So let's talk about infrastructure. Our government has put forward a plan to do $190 billion of infrastructure projects across Ontario over the next 10 years. And Sean brought up County Road 49, and I'd like to talk about that. Because the other day he said that if he was elected, he would get it entirely funded by the province. I'm not sure through which mechanism, since he will not even be the official opposition. He'll be in a cabinet with nine others and not have official party status. But then he flip-flopped and said, well, maybe we would just patch it. I've been clear from the beginning, and I think that in an MPP, you need stability and clarity. We will step up and match whatever the federal government is willing to put forward when they create an actual infrastructure program of their own. So we're happy to help municipalities that need assistance building these projects, but it needs to be a multi-level solution, and it can't just be one partner having to pay out for a highway that was downloaded 26 years ago. There's been plenty of time to address it. It hasn't happened. We will get it done when other partners come to the table.
Thank you, Tyler. I'd like to invite Amanda Robertson for a response. Amanda, you have 1 minute.
Thank you. So I think the theme is that municipalities need a reliable partner in the provincial government. And for too long, we have had infrastructure needs in our communities that have grown and grown and grown and have not been addressed. So if we're talking County Road 49, that has been an issue and a challenge for the municipality for 30 years. Both the Liberals and the Conservatives have had the opportunity to help, and to, if the Liberals are thinking re-uploading that or covering the cost, both parties have had an opportunity to come to the table and be a reliable partner. But the reality is they haven't. An NDP government has already presented a Building Strong and Caring Communities platform, which would create a world where provincial responsibilities are paid for by the province. Infrastructure needs to have a provincial partner at the table, and it's completely unacceptable for a provincial government to say, until another third party comes to the table, we are not going to help you. And I think it's a completely ignorant statement to make that the county has, That's okay.
I'd like to invite Lori for closing statement. You have 1 minute, Lori.
Thank you. Well, I do take a little bit of exception to the significant healthcare funding that Tyler states that they have put into the system. Because in many cases, as a longtime union member and worker in the hospital, what they have done is privatize and put a lot of money into privatization of long-term care. home care, and now surgery clinics. We have ORs that are open at night. We have MRIs that are open at night. We have CT scans that are underutilized at night. We don't have the funding to run them in the public sector. And that is, they give more money to the private sector. And then that is just a poor use of funds, poor use of funds. And also, I will say that when you say to Sean Kelly that if he was elected, that he wouldn't get any money to fund Highway 49, I would hope that our current government would support the Bay of Quinte, no matter what their choice is September 19th.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you, everyone, for your responses on that question. The third question will be first assigned to Sean Kelly. Sean, in this round, you will have the first 2 minutes to respond, with each other candidate having 1 minute in the middle to rebuttal, with the final say going to you for a 1 minute response. Here is your question. The Bay of Quinte region is experiencing a significant demand for skilled workers, particularly in healthcare, construction, hospitality, and manufacturing. How is your party positioned to support local secondary and post-secondary institutions to ensure the education system is effectively preparing graduates to meet the demands of the workforce and to support the future economic growth of our region?
Well, thanks for the question, Chris. We've got a lot of local talent here in Belleville, Quinte West, and Picton. It's interesting that I get this question because I just spoke to an individual today knocking on doors that he just graduated like an accounting program from Loyalist College. He's in his 60s, he went back to school, and he's got himself a job, he's got a few clients, and he's building his business. So that's a success. I know the work that Loyalist College puts in with their partnerships with the community. As the Economic Development Committee Chair for the City of Belleville, I work closely with many of the different stakeholders that have a keen interest, whether it's Chris King and his team at Workforce, Loyalist College, Mark Kirkpatrick. I know the successes that are happening there. I do want to bring back the health file. We have Loyalist College graduating lots of PSWs, and we saw the work of the PSWs throughout the pandemic. Long-term care, as a member of the Long-Term Care Committee for Hastings County, I can't speak just so highly about the work of the PSWs and the RPNs that are graduates at Loyalist College. So small business, workplace development, skilled trades. I was speaking to educators from Algonquin Lakeshore Catholic School Board and Hastings Prince Edward Public School Board. Their challenge in education is Ford has dropped the ball. I had that conversation this morning. They've moved away from technology. All of those skilled trades that should be taught and given the opportunity to high school kids is not happening anymore. We know it's good paying jobs. They're rewarding financially. But Ford is just not interested in working with youth, high school students to get them the skills and the interest to move into the skilled trade sector.
Thank you, Sean. Tyler, I'd like to invite you to be the first to respond. You have 1 minute.
Thank you very much, Chris. And we've once again made record investments in education. We're at $29 billion now, which is up 30% from when we came into office in 2018. And we've had great partners in this community like Elevate Plus and some more programs where we put forward over $2.6 million to help educate 1,200 workers in our communities for new careers that exist today and for the new industries that we hope to bring into town tomorrow. So we've been very committed to education, very committed to having a skilled workforce, because we understand that it's one of the major things that companies look for when they want to invest in an area. Do you have the skilled workforce? Do you have the ability to train people for the roles that they will have? This government has been committed to doing both and will continue to do that to make sure we have a strong, vibrant workforce and well-educated people living in the Bay of Quinte.
Thank you, Tyler. I'd like to invite Amanda for your 1 minute response.
Awesome, thank you. So this government will say that they have increased their number of funding in record amounts, but I would also just like to point out that the population has grown, so I would expect nothing less than increased year over year since they've been in power. I also want to point out that the Blue Ribbon Report came out not too long ago, and it demonstrates that the government is underfunding our post-secondary education institutions by $1.3 billion. So we currently have a crisis right now, and the government is turning our back on our colleges, or turning their back on our colleges and universities with respect to helping them navigate this crisis, especially with the federal cap on international students, which is a main source of income for colleges like Loyalist that have had to turn to their international student population just to keep their doors open and their lights on. An NDP government would have direct investment and reliable funding for our colleges and our post-secondary institutions, and we would make those institutions our priority. It's time for better, and it's time for real investment in post-secondary, and also encouraging our partnerships with high schools that feed into these programs.
Thank you, Amanda. Lori, I'd like to invite for your response. You have 1 minute.
Thank you. Well, I will say that it's funny. We have all this increased funding for education. With an increased population, our population has grown considerably over the last 6 years, and the cost of living has increased, and the cost of all of the components within that. So we need to put the money in programs, especially our post-secondary. As Amanda stated, most of our post-secondary institutions are either on the verge, some of them, like Queen's University, cutting programs, on the verge of bankruptcy. Loyalist College having to go and get as many international students for which they can charge as much as they can afford to pay to fund their programs. We need to stably fund these post-secondary education, because that is the only way that we will be enable our people to find jobs and be well-trained.
Thank you, Lori. Sean, I will now pass it back to you for the final 1 minute.
Thank you. The value of an education, you can't put a price tag on that. We know that if you're well-educated, and particularly in the skills trade, Quinney Home Builders, building homes here in the Bay of Quinney, are always looking for skilled trades workers. Instead of bringing in carloads of people from Toronto, let's get people in our own backyard taking those skilled trades positions. And I want to talk about the municipality here. We're recruiting nurses, doctors, and PSWs. We have the talent here. We just have to invest, I believe, starting in high school, bring back those technology programs, or the trades, soft trade skills programs in high school, and build from there, and post-secondary successes, we're going to be okay. We won't be in the crisis that we are right now under the Ford government.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you for all of your answers during that section. We'll now be moving to our fourth question. This will be assigned to you, Tyler. During this period, you will have the 2 minutes to respond, with all of your fellow candidates being provided 1 minute, and us circling back to you at the end for the final seg. Your fourth question is as follows. What policy or program will effectively increase the supply and availability of housing?
Well, thank you very much for the question, Chris. And this is one that we are absolutely focused on as the Ford government of the Ontario PC Party. And no one has done more than us in the last 30 years in terms of new housing starts over the last 3 years, as well as a record last year in the number of purpose-built rentals that are being built. And we've done a number of things, whether it's the Housing Enabling Water Systems Fund, which we saw a grant $18 million for Wellington the other day to help make sure that their water processing plant can handle the new homes coming online without having to charge additional fees to existing ratepayers. So that program has been a godsend to a lot of these communities who need to get the water infrastructure in the ground before they can start building the houses. We also have to look at the Building Faster Fund, which Belleville was a recipient of for hitting their housing targets. And this is a very important part of the building 1.5 million homes, is that it's a measured approach with targets for municipalities that hold them accountable to their numbers and reward them for good performance. We received $1.24 million from the Ford government. We put that into a pumping station for the Loyalist Secondary Plan area, which will help facilitate water infrastructure to build up to 9,000 new homes in that area. So if we keep investing in the Build Faster Fund, the Housing Enabling Water Systems Fund, we keep cutting red tape and reducing costs for developers, we're going to be able to get our goal of 1.5 million homes done. And we're the only party who's made a firm commitment to doing that and has an actual track record of getting it done.
Thank you, Tyler. Amanda, I would now like to invite you for a 1 minute response.
Yeah. So housing policies under the current government have driven rents to unmanageable levels and have created a chronic shortage of affordable housing. So this is affecting everybody in our community, from families, young people, seniors on fixed income. I spoke with some seniors with the Canadian Association of Retired Peoples the other day, and they pointed out that there are a lot of their members who are struggling to downsize because they can't afford to buy a smaller home. So people are stuck living in homes that are not appropriate for them and not appropriate for their needs because they can't afford to move elsewhere. An NDP solution would introduce real rent control measures and heavily invest in diverse set of housing options that includes public housing, co-op housing, and non-for-profit housing projects. Nice. Everybody in the Bay of Quinte deserves stable and affordable places to call home. And the only way to address our housing crisis is to build and build quickly and to ensure that we're investing in affordable home options for people who live in the Bay of Quinte.
Thank you, Amanda. Sean, I would like to invite you for your 1 minute response.
Thank you, Chris. Well, you know, this, the costs and the rent control, there's so many different things. One of the first things Ford did was eliminate rent control. Ontario does have that housing crisis, and the Ford government has done nothing. Hastings County, if you can believe this, folks, Tyler's talking about the investment and the $1 million. Here's the reality in our own backyard. Hastings County putting in a 32-room unit building in Trenton, in Quinte West. And they have received, I know you're not going to be surprised by this, $0 from the Ford government. So Hastings County is going alone on this again. That announcement last week, Connor Dory, Chief Administrative Officer at Hastings County, know him well, attend the meetings, $0 from the Ford government. So when you talk about affordability, Tyler, you're not speaking to the people.
Thank you, Sean. Lori, I'd like to invite you for your 1 minute response.
Thank you. Well, first I'd like to point out that the Wellington Water Project is estimated to cost $105 million, and they only received $18 million. And that is to service a huge number of homes going in on some land that maybe not the best choice. We need more infill development. There is room within municipal boundaries to build 2 million homes in Ontario, and that would be less expensive. It costs 2.5 times as much money to develop in the outlying areas where we don't already have services. And Picton Harbor is where the water comes now. And we've just had rumors that there might be an MZO for an industrial usage there. And the people there are quite concerned about their water quality. And so having you know, the government on one hand say build faster, the houses we see built are not the houses that people that living here can afford.
Thank you, Lori. Tyler, I'll pass it back to you for the final say. You have 1 minute.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. And as I say at the beginning, no one is more focused on building more housing than this PC government is. We led the charge to remove the HST on purpose-built rentals. We eliminated municipal fees for building affordable and nonprofit housing. We grew the Canada Ontario Housing Benefit. We also, as I said, in the last 3 years have had more housing starts than we've had in the last 30, including 15 disastrous years under the Wynne government and the NDP's only tenure from 1990 to 1995 under Bob Rae, which went so poorly they were never invited to do that job again. We've also, in the last year, built more purpose-built rentals than at any time in Ontario's history. We've made a goal, we've committed to it, and we are getting it done for the people of Ontario. And that's the end of the story.
Thank you, Tyler. That'll conclude our part one of this evening's program. We will now switch to our second round of questions. There will be four questions, and candidates will have 1 minute each to answer all four questions. Thanks to those who submitted questions online. Please note the wording of submitted questions may have been edited for time. If you don't hear your exact question, the topic may have been already covered in an earlier question. In this section, I will call on each candidate for the response in a set random order. You will have each 1 minute to respond to the question. I will read the first question and then prompt our first response. Question one, Our education system continues to be challenged by lack of funding and an ever-increasing lack of qualified teachers and educational assistants. How important is it to your party to improve the level of support elementary students get within their schools? I will call on Tyler Alsop first to respond. Tyler, you have 1 minute.
Thank you very much. And we've made education a real priority because, as we know, access to a high quality education can make all the difference in a child's life. And we're even seeing that close to home. We are building 2 new schools at $75 million in the Bay of Quinte, which will create 1,500 new child spaces, 1,500 new student spaces and 120 new child spaces. We've also hired more than 9,000 educators since coming into office in 2018, which far outstrips the population growth. So we are having net new educators coming into the system to help reduce class sizes and make sure that people have a better quality education. We also made significant changes in terms of reducing the amount of distractions in the classroom, getting cell phones out of there, getting vaping out of there, which were rampant under the previous Liberal government. We're going back to common sense and making sure that children get the education they need. We also extended the Ontario Youth Apprenticeship Program all the way back to grade 9. So when we were talking about skilled trades earlier, we're making it easier for kids to learn those while they're in school.
Thank you, Tyler. Amanda, I'd like to invite you next to respond. You have 1 minute.
So I think we can all agree that children, they deserve to have the support they need to learn, and our educators deserve to be in a safe place where they can be supported and provide that high quality Ontario education. I think an NDP government would partner with our schools and our school boards to give them what they need. I think our Conservative government would like to say that they're investing heavily and the most they've ever done. But if you've been into a school at any point over the last 6 years, you can see that the story that is being told there is a very different one. So while we have a net increase in new educators, we also have a massive loss of education workers out of our system. We have kids who can't get to school because transportation budgets have been insufficient. Boards that are having to make really tough decisions to get kids on buses to schools versus have supports there in the classroom. So an NDP government would ensure that we increase the funding for education so that we can provide the high quality education experience that our kids deserve.
Thank you, Amanda. Lori, I'd like to invite you next to respond. You have 1 minute.
Thank you. It's vitally important that we increase funding and support our educators in the schools and our students in the schools. Education, any dollar you invest in education is going to pay you back multifold at the end, because those are people that can fully work within the system and find jobs and start businesses. So it's vitally important. We plan to cap class sizes so that teachers will not have as large of classes. And we plan to increase infrastructure spending and ensure that all schools are brought up to standards. They need to have air conditioning. They need to have good ventilation systems. These are the things that we'll be needing going forward as the climate gets hotter and hotter. We already had a huge heat dome in June. And here the kids are just sweltering in many of the schools because a lot of them only have one or two rooms that are air conditioned. So we would see that be quite a change going forward.
Thank you, Lori. Sean, I'd like to invite you for the final statement on this question. You have 1 minute.
Education, struggling right now in crisis, but thanks to the principals, the teachers, the support staff for continuing to go to school every day and wanting to teach that little student that's in their class or high school kid. I'm going to focus in on Hastings Prince Edward Public Education, 15,500 students, lacking support staff, teachers haven't had a raise in a while. We talk about busing. The thing about busing, get your child to school. That's where they learn. They build friendships and relationships. That's all part of education. But Hastings Prince Edward Public School Board this year for busing will be taking $2 million out of their budget to pay for busing. Last year, it was $1.7 million. The year before, $800,000 out of the budget, where that money could be used for more staffing, more resources. There's lots of challenges in education. It comes back to the Ford government not supporting them with enough money.
Thank you, Sean. thank you all for your answers during that first round of questioning. Question two will be the same format. I will select each of you at random, predetermined random for your answers. Question two is, do you believe changes to the Conservation Act have been necessary to support development? In this round, I'd like to ask Sean Kelly to open with his 1 minute response.
Well, you know, conservation, I was on the Bay of Quinte Conservation Board for 4 years. And boy, did I get an education from Brad and Tammy and the team there. And I had a chance to learn of the good work of conservation. We saw this in Toronto where Ford trying to, you know, treat his rich buddies, the Greenbelt, and get homes in there. But he heard the roar of Ontario saying no, and let's have respect for our land. And we see it on occasion cropping up here in Bay of Quinte. You know, there's 18 municipalities in the Bay of Quinte region that come under the Quinte Conservation. And the work of the conservation in all of our riding is important, whether it's wetlands, floods, all of that is really important. And I don't think they get the recognition from the Ford government or the respect.
Thank you, Sean. I'd like to next invite Lori for a 1 minute response. Lori.
Thank you. Yes, our Conservation Authority has been exemplary to work with. They are trying to make sure and ensure that people's houses are safe, that they're not flooding, and they're also every bit of natural area and land, marshland, wetland, it's like a sponge. We have a heavy rain event, it's going to absorb the water like a sponge, hold it, and then slowly release it safely. If we pave over all of these important wetlands and all of these important natural areas, we're going to have even worse flooding. Look at what's happening in Toronto. Look what happened even in our own Bay of Quinte this summer. 1 hour of rain and we had flooding and we lost power. So we can do better than that. We need to plan for infrastructure. But our conservation authorities are underfunded, almost not funded at all by the provincial government. They're funded by municipalities. They serve an incredibly important service. And I think that as Greens, we would reinstate all of their...
Thank you, Lori. Amanda, I'd like to invite you for your 1 minute response.
Sure. So Sean alluded to the roar of Ontario with respect to the Greenbelt, but I would like to correct that was actually the roar of Margaret Stiles and the NDP that really called for accountability with respect to reversing that Greenbelt decision. We need to ensure that we are good stewards of our land and to ensure that farmland is protected, because when we start messing with conservation and conservation authorities, that has impacts on farmers' abilities to ensure that their land is protected and also to ensure that they have good abilities to grow crops and they're not struggling with flooding and floodplains that sometimes happen when we don't take care of our conservation. We also need to respect our conservation authorities because they need a reliable partner in the provincial government and one who values and respects their expertise.
Thank you, Amanda. Tyler, I'd like to invite you for your 1 minute response.
Thank you, Chris. And I just want to open by saying that I have tremendous respect for all the people that work in conservation in our area that keep Ontario a beautiful place to live, work, and play. And as someone who has three young daughters, my oldest is 4 and a half, and our twins, Riley and Everly, are 3, I'm very focused on making sure that we have a beautiful, natural world for them to grow up in and for them to marvel at the same way that we did. But we also have to balance the interests of people who need housing. And that is something that's incredibly important. And as anyone who's worked in conservation knows, that flood maps and floodplains change over time, that areas of concern and where endangered species live change over time. But one of the constants is that we need to make sure that we have enough room for the people that live in these areas. We have one of the largest land masses in the world. We have one of the sparsest populations. We are absolutely going to make sure that we take care of conservation areas and the natural environment, but we also need to make sure that we build homes. We can do both at the same time.
Thank you, Tyler, and thank you to the rest of you for your answers on that question. We'll be moving on to question three, where I will call on each candidate for the response in a set random order. Question three is, how does your party plan to support government-funded initiatives for small and medium-sized businesses to increase Ontario's productivity and competitiveness? For this portion, I will ask Lori to begin with her first 1 minute response. Lori?
Thank you. I was down at the Picton Farmers Market, and I have been talking to a lot of small business owners. Most of the 92% of the businesses within Prince Edward County are small businesses, and over 50% of them are run by women. This is a huge issue. They are unable to access a lot of the supports for businesses that larger businesses can access, because they don't have the manpower to go through all of the red tape that still exists despite the Ford government. So for us, we need to see that we will be cutting red tape, and we will realize that the real engine that drives Ontario is small and medium business owners. They employ 70% of the private workforce. So they need their support. They need red tape cut for them. Thank you.
Thank you, Lori. I'd like to invite Amanda for your response. Amanda, you have 1 minute.
So our local businesses, from grocery stores to corner shops, are the backbone of our economy, yet they've been sidelined for too long. We need policies that support these enterprises and ensure they can thrive by leveling the playing field. Instead of supporting small businesses, Ford's conservatives are rewarding their corporate CEO friends at Shoppers, Staples, and Walmart. And we need to create the conditions for small businesses and entrepreneurship to thrive. People need reliable access to healthcare, transit, childcare. With reliable access to these public services, Bay of Quinte can attract businesses, healthcare workers, teachers, et cetera. The NDP would support small businesses by cutting unnecessary red tape, providing access to expansion grants, and creating opportunities for economic development that benefit the whole community, not just the elite.
Thank you, Amanda. Tyler, I would like to invite you for your response. You have 1 minute.
Well, thank you very much. And I see some people reading off their notes, and maybe this is hypothetical for some people out there. I've actually been a small business owner for 11 years. So I know that it's not the government's job to run your business for you, unlike my friends at the Liberals and NDPs. It's their job to create an environment that allows businesses to flourish. And we've done that through streamlining grant processes, through actually cutting red tape, not just talking about it, and through making sure that we haven't raised a single tax since 2018. And by keeping a low tax environment, it's better for the business community to thrive and grow. We've also made strategic investments into local businesses like Sprague Foods, Tilsonburg Custom Foods, Quinte Wall and Truss, and All Season Fencing, to make sure that they had the resources that they needed to grow their company, employ more people, and continue to be profitable right here in the Bay of Quinte.
Thank you, Tyler. Sean, you'll have a chance to answer this question last. You have 1 minute. Thank you.
As chair of Belleville's Economic Development Committee, let me tell you about small business, and I will refer to downtown Belleville because I know it well. Danielle Hanneman and the downtown district. Lots of businesses downtown, but I'd be interesting to see what Tyler has to say about this. Our homeless population, the city has charged its tax or added a tax, 1% tax to its residents to pay for the hub that we're opening hopefully at end of December. So we've had $0 from the Ford government, and that's affecting our downtown public safety. And I don't know where Tyler says that they're doing so much. The homeless population, if anybody, he should know this, that is causing lots of challenges for our businesses. But Ford hasn't stepped up. It's going to cost taxpayers in Belleville $4 million. It's affecting our small businesses downtown. They work hard. They're grinding it out with no support from the Ford government.
Thank you, Sean. And thank you all for your answers for that question. We'll move on to our final question of this section. Again, I will call on each candidate for the response in a set random order. Your question four is, what mandate of the party you represent addresses the needs of the Bay of Quinte most? I will call on Amanda for first response. Amanda, you have 1 minute.
So our main mandate is people over party, and people deserve more. The reality is that we've had a government that for the last 6 years has prioritized big business, wealthy insiders, rich friends over the everyday people that are living and working here in the Bay of Quinte. The homelessness issue that we have downtown that's affecting our small businesses is something that they've identified as a need, And we have not had a reliable partner in the provincial government to address. So the reality is our mandate is to listen and work with people, to be a reliable partner with the frontline workers, and to not only bring their issues and hear their issues and their challenges, but also bring their solutions to Queen's Park so that we can fight for them and we can advocate for them.
Thank you, Amanda. Lori, I would like to invite you for your 1 minute response. Lori, it's yours.
It was very hard for me to choose something, but the thing that I think is most important right now is our homelessness crisis. We have a lot of unhoused folks and they need support. And the municipalities are not getting that support. And as Greens, we know that that's an issue. We will create stable funding. We will increase funding by 50% to deal with the homelessness crisis. Because when people are unhoused, it affects everyone. It affects all of us. When we see those people suffering on the streets, we're all affected. And we can't allow that to happen in our beautiful Ontario. We can do much better than that. So municipal funding, so they can deal with the problems on the ground is our, I think, the way that as Greens, we would help the most.
Thank you, Lori. Sean, I'd like to invite you for your response. You have 1 minute. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. Lori, thanks for your compassion too. I can hear it in your voice tonight. I really appreciate that. So homelessness is an issue. Hasn't been addressed, costing taxpayers more. No solutions or no partnerships from the province. Over 20,000 people in the Baie-Comeau area don't have access to primary care, a doctor, nurse practitioner, 20,000 plus. I hear it every day on the thousands of doors I've knocked on that said, I don't have a family doctor. I'm driving to Fort Erie, Ajax, Barrie, Belleville, Quinte West, and Picton is a growing community. People are coming here to retire, work online from home. They love it, but they can't get a family doctor. When you hear stories of, I haven't had a doctor in 7 years. I can't get into the nurse practitioner's clinic. I mean, how do you attract people to your community if you have healthcare and education and parks and recreation? We know those are the top three things that attract people to your community.
Thank you, Sean. Tyler, I will ask you for your response. You have 1 minute. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. And as Lori said, hard to pick one, so I'm going to take housing. I'm going to split into two. So firstly, we've got to get more homes built faster. And that's what we've done in a targeted, measured approach that holds municipalities accountable and rewards them for hitting their targets on our way to building 1.5 million new homes by 2031 to ensure that the dream of home ownership becomes a reality for more people. On homelessness, just came out with heart hubs, 19 of them across the province, $378 million investment, homelessness, addictions, recoveries, and treatment centers. What these will do is help people get medically detoxed. They'll be able to stay in the center while they're doing that. They'll transition to one of 20 available, highly supportive housing beds afterwards so they can get back on their feet, get rehabilitated, get back out in the community. People are saying that there's no investment for homelessness. We already do $8.2 million a year through our partnership with Hastings County. These heart hubs will be an additional net positive for the community, helping people get off drugs, get their lives back, and get back to work out in the community. And that's how we're going to get it done on homelessness and housing.
Thank you, Tyler. And thank you all for participating in the question portion of our debate. You have had equal time to present your party's position on a wide variety of topics and hopefully also confirm the issues that the Baie-Comeau riding residents are concerned about. The Chamber relies on its membership and our connection to the community to inform us of the challenges they face. We are a nonpartisan advocacy group and look forward to working with a successful candidate following the election. I will now invite the candidates to make their closing statements. They will each have 2 minutes. The order has been selected randomly. I'd like to invite Lori Borthwick for a closing statement. Lori, you have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Chris. Well, I want to thank everyone who's online for joining us tonight. And the presidential debate for the U.S. is coming up later, so this is just a little warm-up. This election is a chance to let the current government know what you think about the direction that they are taking. I feel uniquely qualified to represent this riding. I have over 30 years of frontline healthcare work, I have seen and heard firsthand the issues of so many people are facing. I've seen the cracks in the system. As an environmental advocate, I have led protests and marches to support our natural spaces. I'm aware of the importance of protecting our natural heritage. As a National Farmers Union member, I learn more each day about the needs of our local farmers. And farmland is disappearing at over 300 acres per day in Ontario, and that is not a renewable resource. And as a CARP member, I can advocate for the needs of seniors, unfortunately, at my age. And as a concerned grandmother, I understand the importance of limiting pollution and greenhouse gases for future generations. I can't promise you a buck of beer. I can't promise you liquor sold in every corner store, some near schools, but I can promise you I will focus on the needs of our riding. I will focus on housing that fits the needs of everyday people, healthcare with a focus on access of primary care, and plans to support true affordability. On September 19th, you can vote for a better way of doing politics. You can vote for a green and caring economy. You can vote for Lori Borthwick. Vote green. It's time.
Thank you, Lori. I'd like to invite Amanda Robertson for her closing statements. Amanda, you have 2 minutes.
Thank you. This government has had 6 years to address our needs, but looking around the community, our needs are not being met. The crises we're facing in healthcare, housing, and education didn't just happen overnight. This September 19th, you have the opportunity to make an exciting choice, a choice to elect someone who will show up for you, a choice to elect a representative who will fight for Bay of Quinte, not for big corporations, not for wealthy developers, but for you, for your family, and for our community. This election is about more than just today. It's about the future that we want for our children. It's about giving them the education they deserve, the healthcare they need, and the chance to grow up in a place that cares about them as much as they care about it. Bay of Quinte, you deserve better. You deserve a government that listens, a leader who cares, and a representative who will work every single day to make life better for all of us. I'm Amanda Robertson, and I'd be honored to be your voice in Queen's Park. Let's make life better together. On September 19th, vote NDP and vote for a community that works for all of us. The time for better is now. Let's build it together.
Thank you, Amanda. Tyler, I'd like to invite you for your closing statements. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you very much, Chris. And in this election, we have an important choice. And I think as we've heard tonight, many of the fellow candidates that have spoken this evening have been focused on the Ontario PC Party and Doug Ford, and indeed at times in this discussion myself. But I hope what you've heard from me is that I am focused on you. I'm focused on the priorities that matter to your families. I'm focused on the investments that are important to your businesses. I'm focused on the future of our children, having three myself, and it matters to me the type of community that they grow up in. I'm focused on making sure that people get off the street and get their lives back. I'm focused on making sure that we continue to bring economic growth and prosperity to this region and attract new employers and higher paying jobs. I'm focused on making sure that we improve our healthcare system, our education system, and that we continue to make significant investments in the infrastructure necessary to build more homes, to bring the reality of homeownership closer to so many more of our residents. And I have the experience to do it as a father, as a city councilor, as chair of the police service board, as a former small business owner. I know what it takes to get it done, and I'm committed to getting up every single day and working as hard as I can for all of the people of the Bay of Quinte. So in this election, you have a choice. Do you want an MPP who's willing to hit the ground running, is willing to work with this Ontario PC government and Doug Ford to get things done? Or do you want an MPP who's going to sit in opposition, who's going to parrot party slogans and denounce the very opportunities and supports that this community needs? That's the option before you, and I urge you, this September, whether it's in the advanced polls from the 8th to the 13th, or on election day on September 19th, please vote Tyler Alsop as your next MPP of the Bay of Quinte and send me to Queen's Park to advocate for you.
Thank you, Tyler. Sean, I'd like to now invite you for your closing statements. You have
Thank you, Chris. I think we just heard from the king of party slogans tonight. You know, Tyler mentioned in his last statement about the homeless situation, and it really resonated with me. His last line in his comment was, "Get off drugs." He said, get off drugs. Has Tyler ever visited the Bridge Street United Church?
Yes.
They're not all on drugs.
Of course they're not.
It's mental health, and many have lost their way. Whether they're in a relationship and their partner passed away and they can't afford their apartment. I've been in there and had those conversations with the people at the Bridge Street United Church. Tyler, for you to say get off drugs is unfair. People know me, and I talk about all the people that I meet throughout the last several, met rather over the last several weeks. I'm your neighbor. I see you at the gym. I've been your city councilor and so fortunate to do that now for the last 6 years and work in the school system for 4 years prior to that. My kids grew up in Belleville. It's as a dad, when you go out and you knock on a door and you get a wonderful response and they say, is that Taylor? Is that Liam? Because they've heard their journey going through elementary and high school and their first date and getting their driver's license with me. I've shared my life with Bev Quinney. All I know is that we need someone to stand up to Doug Ford, and I can deliver that for the Bay of Quinney. I feel blessed to be a counselor and to have worked for the Morton family for 30 years and get to know you on a personal level. And I know I have the experience and the compassion, and I haven't given up on hope for people in the Bay of Quinney that are having some serious challenges due to lack of funding and support from the Ford government. So I'm hoping on the 19th or the advanced poll starting tomorrow, Thursday and Friday and into the weekend that you support me. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I want to thank all of you candidates, to each and every one of you, for your time and dedication to participating in tonight's debate. I trust you have found it an opportunity to share your party's platform and how it relates to our Bay of Quinney riding concerns. That will end my portion of the evening. Thank you all for your participation. I would now like to invite Dwart De Silva, CEO for the Prince Edward County Chamber of Commerce, to offer a few words. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. On behalf of the PEC, Belleville and Quinte West Chambers of Commerce, thank you all for joining us online. We'd like to thank the candidates, Tyler Alsop, Sean Kelly, Amanda Robertson, Lord Barthwick, for taking the time to join us tonight during what must be a hectic campaign period. As a reminder, the advance voting is open until September 13th. In-person voting at returning offices ends on September 18th at 6 p.m. You may also vote by mail and receive your packages by September 13th. And of course, vote on election day, September 19th from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. For more information, visit elections.on.ca or call the returning office at 1-833-405-1873. Voting is one of the most important things that citizens can do to express their ideas and preferences, said Sandra Rain, a political scientist. Democracy does not implement itself, nor does it remain strong and healthy without underlying values and a firm will to apply and enforce them. Democracy is much more than holding elections. However, free and fair elections are one of its most fundamental conditions, as Elections Canada notes. Whatever party you support, get out and vote. Thank you.
All right, I think that's got it. And thank you all. Yes, thank you all for joining us this evening. And thanks for all of you who joined us online. I think we crested almost 280 people at one point, and we kept a lot of them for at least most of the hour. And perhaps we should have assured them that they would be done before 8:30. And here we are at 8:20. Thanks again. All the best with the pounding of the pavement. I know campaigning is a lot of work. And thank you all for being committed to your community and interested in serving in this way.